Well, the thought came to me the other day, and maybe I've already said this. What if this had not happened? Where would I be? Well, I would be running like I always did before. But this slowed me down. And the Lord has promised to bring us out into a wealthy place. And I'm still seeing some of that wealthy place. There was a time I didn't know if I could thank Him for it. But I am thanking the Lord for all He has done for me. So yes, this is something new to stand. I desire your prayers. Not for me, but for the word of the Lord. I stand in great need before the Lord. There is a scripture that says that we that stand before you, this is my paraphrasing, must be partakers of the fruit first. That we have to go through some things and experience some things in order to even speak of those things. Some of those things are extremely hard. But the Lord uses those hard places. And I believe that the Lord, well, He's laid this on my heart a few weeks ago. But it's been several weeks that I had to pass through something in order to stand here and even mention it. I'm going to have the title, but I'm going to explain a little bit of the beginning of the burden. A lot of times we hesitate to speak of anything concerning the devil. The devil wants us to fear if we try to expose him. Have you ever experienced that? Well, I have. So the title this morning is Exposing Satan's Devices. And I want to say that this subject is so big it would take much longer than many times of speaking on it to fully expose it. But I'm trusting that this morning the Lord will, if what is said is not necessarily what you need, that the Spirit of the Lord will meet your need. Will open your mind, give you understanding, give you vision, help you to recognize where the enemy is trying to come in like a flood. Now my thoughts this morning starts with the fact that we are in a war. And this war is not going to end until Jesus comes again. Now, we know about wars in this world. And if you've ever looked into any of the military preparations for war, they don't just draft somebody and the next day send them out to war. They go through something that's rigorous and hard and strenuous. And they push them to the limit in preparation to being on a battlefield. They go through classes. And I might add, or suggest maybe, I haven't been there, but I can only imagine that if our country was at war, they would want to instill in every soldier a confidence in the leader. Wouldn't they? Wouldn't that be probably the foundational teaching or that they would present as they prepare these young men and some women to be facing an enemy? Well, this morning, I'd like for us to sort of imagine in the beginning of this that we're in a classroom and that we're being taught and trained and prepared for battle. Yes. If you're not in a battle today, you will be, you could be tomorrow. Or another day. You cannot escape this war. If you plan to go to heaven, if you plan to be a child of God, you must face the reality that you're in a war. And you will face the battles of life. A battle song came to me, and I'm going to give one verse of it. I am fighting in the army of the Lord. And though dangers thickly round my pathway lie, I shall never faint or fear. Have you ever fainted? Or nearly fainted? I dare to say every one of us have experienced fainting spells from time to time. If the battle is hot, it takes its toll sometimes. I'm just going to say that. Have you ever feared? I want to tell you something. The enemy that you and I face uses fear as a tool and a weapon against the people of God. And in that fear, he inserts imaginations. And they're of all kinds. I'm not going to try to expose every kind, but I think we all should be aware. Some of our imaginations and fears are coming from the pits of hell.
Yes,
I shall never faint or fear, for my captain is so near. Sometimes we can't feel him. And sometimes we can't even hear him. And it's all part of the test. It's all part of the battle. Do you think that the head general of the military in the United States is always on in every situation where every battlefield he's urging them on? No, but they know he is somewhere. We know where our God is. I've enlisted in the service till I die. I will press the battle on till the victory is won. And I reach my crown and mansion by and by. By the grace of God, I know I shall conquer every foe. We've all got to have that mindset. If you hope to make it, you're going to have that mind. I'm going to have that mind. When I enter into a battle, we're going to have a mindset. The next thought that came to me, and I'm teaching you as fellow soldiers, I hope we really get into our position today and recognize we're not just here. We're not here by chance. You enlisted. This is not a drafting army or drafted army. It's an enlisted. And you made a choice. And I made a choice. And I said, I'm going to do this till I die.
Amen.
But this is the thought I want us to hold on to. Our captain has never lost a battle. But we don't always feel that way. Remember that. But we need to remember he's never lost a battle. That should give us great confidence in our leader. So the next thought that I had, and I'm going to teach you this morning. I'm the teacher this morning. You see, our captain has some mighty men of war. And he's put them through some places that they can relate then to what God is wanting his soldiers to be prepared for. So this thought came that he's never sent his soldiers out to battle without preparing them, not only with armor and not only with weapons. Two very important things that we really need, and he does supply. He gives us understanding of our armor. He gives us understanding of the weapons that we use, but he doesn't stop there. He prepares us in a vital to be successful in warfare by developing some endurance. It's all part of it. I don't know a great deal about preparation in our literal military, but I have heard that when they send out their groups of men, you know what they say? Don't come back unless every one of you come back. And there are those that are carrying these backpacks and weapons and they're loaded down and they're running and doing no break. Their strength is pressed to the limit. And sometimes I've heard this. One fellow in the group, he starts slowing down a little bit. The man next to him reaches over and takes his weapon. He picks up and stays with the group. Pretty soon he's slowing down again. And this man over here, he reaches over and he takes something else. We're in this together. I'm not fighting a war alone. And you aren't either. But the devil wants us to think we are. We're to help one another in the battles. And oftentimes the enemy does not want us to share our battles. There's so much I could say. He wants us to say, there's no one I can talk to. How do I know that? He said it to me. You're alone. You can't tell anyone. Why does he do that? Well, I believe we'll talk about that more later. So the Lord is going to, I'm going to say our captain is going to put things in our life to prepare us with endurance. But he does something else. He wants you and me to be well informed as well as well trained. We need to know some things. You know, if our nation went to war and has been in war, and I could name some places, one of the things when Desert Storm, a completely different battle than the United States had fought before. They had fought in jungles and they had fought in different terrain, but that one was different. It was so different that they even painted their vehicles to match the sand. They couldn't take in the vehicles that they would have used in a jungle. We have to adjust to every battlefield and allow God to keep us informed how to recognize the enemy. He's going to be different in Desert Storm than he was in Vietnam. Be different. He's going to use different tactics. And you and I need to understand every battlefield is going to be fought in a little different way. We have to be wise. But he will prepare us. Our captain will prepare us. So I've already said that the warriors must have confidence in their leaders, and also they need to, concerning the opposing enemy in this great spiritual contest, that's how I felt like it was said to me, the knowledge and the understanding of who the enemy is, his tactics in warfare, and identifying marks of his very personage. You've got to, you know, I don't know that any of us enjoy talking about the devil. I think it's probably one of our least favorite subjects, mine anyway. But you know, the word of the Lord has already said there's going to be two masters, and you can only serve one, and you're going to have to hate the other one and despise the one and cleave to the one. So if you've enlisted, you've made your choice now, and now you've got to know. You've got to know some information about the opposing enemy. And as I've said, our captain has never lost a battle. But I want to give us some encouragement with some of the names. And I found these in, if you have Crudence, what is it called? What? Concordance. If you have one, it's very valuable. And some of the words have different meanings and definitions for whatever word it is and the scriptures where it's found. That's why I like it. And so when I looked up this word of captain, this is what I found. And so I'm going to give it to us. He is the King of Kings and the prince of all of his people. He is the chief marshal of his army, as well as the general and commander. And our captain is the head of all things, and has all power in heaven and on earth, and has made his enemies his footstool. And Ephesians 1 and 22, it says, he hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things. And Jesus Christ is the captain of my salvation and your salvation. And by his sufferings and his death, oh God, I have chills going over my body. This is who he is, and we can trust him. And it goes on and it says, by his sufferings and his death, he has not only fitted his people to be soldiers of the cross. This isn't in the definition. This is things the Lord has inspired me with. He's fitted you and me to be soldiers of the cross, but he gave us the assurance that the enemy of the cross is a defeated foe. You're not going to feel that way all the time. You're going to be bruised and crushed down, and you're going to have to press, and you're going to have to fight against feelings. But keep in your mind, he's not lost a battle, and Satan is a defeated foe at the cross. I Our captain is not only our leader and guide, but he vanquishes all opposers of the truth and righteousness. Oh, I want to tell you, we've got to believe these things if you hope to win some battles between now and the coming of the Lord. And we're going to face some battles. So now I want to, and I call him my archangel, archenemy. You know what that means? He is very imposing in his plans. He's got a plan for you. Did you know it? He has a plan for me. So, you know, when we speak about these kind of things, a lot of times we may say, the enemy is only an enemy to the godly or the redeemed or the saved. That's a lie. Don't believe it, because the wicked and the unrighteous, even though they're already under his power, he doesn't stop with them. And we should pity them. And this is why we carry a burden for our lost loved ones, because, you know, Satan is always wanting to take each one farther and farther. I mean, history of our society proves that. Where are we today compared to 50 years ago? And if you're not 50, then you can just sort of look in or take my word for it. It's nothing today like it was 50 years ago. Nothing. So that tells me that he's not settling for some level of wickedness and, well, I'm not going to bother them anymore. I've got them. And I'm only going to focus on the righteous. Listen, the devil is focusing on our loved ones to take them farther. And the song says, it says sin will take you farther. But I'm going to say this, Satan will take you farther than you want to go. And it says, slowly but wholly, wholly, taking control. Satan will leave you longer than you want to stay, and Satan will cause it to cost you more than you want to pay. There are a lot of people that are, as was spoken of, addictions, and under such bondage they can't break out of it because just a chain came in there around, a rope, a tight binding, and takes them further. And they think there's no hope, and they think they cannot get out. But oh, if they could get acquainted with our captain, they could be delivered. So yes, he has his sights set on the wicked, but I'm going to tell you, the devil has his sights set on the soldiers of the cross. Don't kid yourself. Amen. Don't get so wrapped up in the cares of life, in the busyness of life. That's what I'm saying when I said, the Lord said, where would you be if this had not happened to you? I would have been just going on like I was, in the cares and busyness of life. Oh, you read and you pray and you do this and you do that and you go to church and you do all of those things. But I'm telling you that sometimes God has to slow us down and get our attention. The devil is no gentleman. What I am seeing in his efforts and work today is he's reaching to younger children than ever before. We carry a burden for the children of the world. Literally, I carry a burden for the children of the world, for them coming to the age of accountability. But children have more knowledge at a younger age than we ever dreamed of, probably even in our teenage years or older. They're being introduced to things in those that are especially in the public system. And even though there are people that are trying to fight against it and trying to turn it, that the children would not be handed such pornographic information at an age that they cannot comprehend it or understand it, that's the devil's plan. We all must pray for our children and the children of the world. So I'm going to give you some identifying marks of this arch enemy. And this is from the scriptures. I won't be quoting or telling the verses, but I know you're going to know it and understand it. Satan is a deceiver of the whole world. He wants to deceive the whole world. And the vast majority of the world is deceived. But if you are not deceived, pray every day to not be deceived. It needs to be a matter of prayer every day. Lord, don't allow me to be deceived. Don't allow me to believe a lie. Did you know that if you believe one lie, the enemy can convince you of another lie? If you believe this lie is the truth, he's capable of introducing other lies. But the main thing is he wants you to believe a lie about yourself. If you're deceived, you can begin to believe that's okay, or you are fine, or you are okay. He wants us to believe a lie about ourselves. So he is a deceiver, and he also is an accuser of the brethren. Be aware of that. When you feel accused, examine where it is coming from. Now, if it is God that is convicting, that's not an accusation. That's not, he is God. Our captain is not an accuser. But he may convict us. Pay attention. Be aware of the difference. The one is going to give you hope of being delivered from your conviction that maybe has been crossed, that place that you have failed a little bit. God gives us hope and gives us the courage to also bring it to him. It takes courage. It takes courage to expose ourselves. But God can do it. But Satan is an accuser of the brethren, and he has a reason for that. We can become so downcast and discouraged. And not be able, there's been people that have become discouraged and never was able to rise above it again. But we have some weapons. We'll talk about that. Satan is a murderer and a liar and the father of lies. This is who he is. These are the identifying marks of our arch enemy. He goes about as a roaring lion. Now, he is not a roaring lion, but he sounds like one. It is not exactly the sound of a lion. It is not that kind of sound. But it is something that creates such distress at the sound of it that you can't quite see how to escape it. And when he's roaring, he is trying to seek to devour us at the same time with whatever the sound is, the roaring of distressing, hurtful. I know what I'm talking about. And he uses these things. And remember what we said in the beginning. When the enemy comes in like a flood, he comes in that way sometimes. You're unprepared. You're going along with life. You're on your job, maybe. Or you're whatever you're doing, and all of a sudden, like was said, it's an explosion. It happens. And you say, where did that come from? It came from the devil, because he's trying to devour you and me. So he's trying to devour. Remember that. Did you know that the devil can change in a moment? We're exposing the devil this morning. He's not always going to sound like a lion. He's not always going to come against you and you feel like he's trying to murder you. He's not always going to present himself in the same way twice, maybe in a row. But you know, he changes, and all of a sudden he appears as an angel of light. All of a sudden, how do I switch my thinking from this devouring spirit, and all of a sudden now I've got to treat him as though he's trying to deceive me by being an angel of light? Do you see how his tactics are? This is how he works. Did you know what the scripture says? You know what the scripture says. It says his main purpose is to kill, steal, and destroy. And we've used that. You've used it. Maybe in prayer, when you are trying to fight in some of your battles, you've recognized that the devil's purpose is wanting to kill. What is he wanting to? Is he wanting to kill us physically? He possibly could be. But he wants to kill our spirit. You know, if your spirit is cold and dry and dead, and it affects us spiritually. He works on those things. He wants to steal something that's been precious to us, the joy. He wants to take our song. He wants to steal it. I know, I've been there. It took me a while to understand that I'd lost my song. Sometimes these things have to happen, and we begin to say, what's wrong? And then we say, oh, I don't have my song anymore. Or whatever he's trying to steal from us. But ultimately, he has a goal of destroying each one of us. He is your arch enemy. He hates you with a hatred that is beyond our comprehension. He has only ill will toward each one of us. Only. Even when he's trying to present himself as an angel of light, it is for the purpose of doing something really harmful to your soul. That's what he's doing. The scripture says he loves, and this is in my words, he loves to blind the minds. Now, some people might think, well, he's blinding the minds of the people of the world. No, he's doing that too. He doesn't want them to ever come and see the light or see hope. And so he blinds their minds. He takes away their hope. But he will do all he can to blind your mind and my mind with distress, with hurts and wounds, and so much more. I cannot give it all this morning. God's going to have to open up your mind to many of these things. And so these are just some of the identifying marks, but I'm going to look now, 2 Corinthians 2 and 11. It makes us to know. And I'm sure when I say this, though it won't be a direct quote, you'll know what 2 Corinthians 2 and 11 is. Our captain does not want us to be ignorant of Satan's devices, that Satan would take advantage of us. I'm going to insert this here, but I'm not going to really expound on it, but I think it should be presented. Where that particular scripture is, it starts out and it really says, lest Satan take advantage. Then he wants us to not be ignorant. God does not want us to be ignorant. Do you know what the verse just above that is? It speaks about forgiveness. That is a true weapon of the enemy, to hold a grudge, to be unforgiving. Why? Because he knows what the word says. He knows if you and I are unforgiving, we can't be forgiven. And so he'll use that. So I'm just inserting that. You know, I know that you've heard it said, you maybe have felt it yourself, and it is true. We are no match for the devil. Well, why are you talking about him then, if you're no match? We are only a match for the devil through Jesus Christ. And it's because he gave his life and he broke the power of Satan. He said when his disciples went out and they came back and they said, in your name, we cast out devils. And Jesus said, I beheld Satan as lightning falling from heaven. And oh, the poor people of the world that takes hold of that and uses it and interprets it in a wrong way. You and I don't have to be deceived about that. The Satan lost his power in men's hearts and lives and the control. And that's why he's so determined. He wants everyone that has departed from his power, he wants them back. Did you know he wants me back? Did you know just because I preach doesn't mean I'm going to escape? I'm not. Did you know that it's not going to be a reason for me to make heaven? Did you know that? Paul saw that. And I think I've quoted it in some of the messages just recently. Lest when I preach to others, I myself become a castaway. You can't trust in your own righteousness, nor can I. We have to still fight this war and fight these battles and stay on top when we don't feel like we're on top. So no, we're no match for the devil. And how many years do you think he's been using all of his tactics? How many years? How many? How many years? Approximately 6,000 years. How could we be a match for someone that's been in practice 6,000 years? That's why we need our captain. We need our general. We need a leader that is fully aware and can make us aware. So, I'm going to give you a scripture. Did you know that Satan knows his time is short? And so help me, I've said that to the devil years ago, and here we are years later. But it's still true. Because something's going to happen to the devil at the end of all of this, and he knows it. He's not cast into the lake yet, but he will be. So this scripture says in Revelations 12 and 12, woe, this is the latter part of the verse, woe to the inhabitants of the earth, for the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth he hath but a short time. And that's been for thousands of years, but he knows what's at the end of all of this for him. But he wants to take as many with him as he can. Well, I want to speak to you a little bit about his tactics and his tools. He has many tools, more than we could ever count. We have a song in our book that we sing periodically, maybe a lot. 10,000 foes arise. I think that's a conservative number now. I think it's 10 million foes arise. I think it needs to be adjusted for our age. Maybe when it was written, it was like 10,000 foes, but now it's quadrupled and multiplied, and there's more tactics and more tools and more of everything that the devil wants to do to draw people away is quadrupled. And I almost think that's why the Lord is wanting us to wake up, because we can get very sleepy spiritually. It's already been mentioned that we're, I believe, in prayer. We live in a prosperous age. We don't know what persecution is. We've never really been persecuted. And it's almost a danger to us. When the martyrs were giving their lives, a saying was made, and I don't know if I can say it exactly, but their blood became seed, something to that effect. And what that meant was, when people saw them giving their lives and shedding their blood for the sake of their testimony and for their convictions, it drew people to do that too. And now we're just in a laid back, we are concerned. We that understand, we know there's evil out there. It's not that I'm saying there's no evil. But we're in a different age. And we need to recognize it. And we need to address it. And stay on top of it. You need to stay on top of these things. Don't get so busy that you forget you have an adversary. And that's what he is called. I think I'll do it this time. I'll give the second half this afternoon. If you will pray that the Lord will re-inspire it to me. Because if I'm doing this just because I'm thinking of it, what good will that do? It's got to be the Spirit of the Lord. Yes. We're in a war. Yes. Pray for me.